喜的日子，我们到你面前，我们聚集赞美你，主啊，因为你的名配得颂扬，你的名应当被高举。主，我们今日来到你面前，主，我们求你看顾我们的教会，我们教会聚集的当中，主啊，我们求你看顾我们每个人的软弱，求你看顾我们每个人的需要。当我们来到你面前的时候，主，你鉴察我们的心思意念，你帮助我们南湾教会在这里，主，我们在聚集敬拜你的时候，我们能够成为圣洁，主啊，我们能够成为一个合一的肢体。主，我们求你今日帮助我们的聚会，在我们的聚会当中，主，你对我们说话，你向我们敞开，主啊，你的口，你的面，主啊，让我们能够看见你。主，我们南湾教会在这边，主，我们也特别的恳求你，主啊。今日求你帮助我们，帮助我们教会的弟兄姐妹，我们心里面有需要的，主，我们心里面有软弱的，主啊，我们心里面渴求你信息的，主，我们求你帮助我们，主，求你们帮助我们，赐给我们力量，加添给我们信心，主，让我们教会成为一个福音的塔台，让我们教会成为一个你福音所宣讲的祭坛，主，我们求你帮助我们，也帮助我们教会当中的同工，帮助我们的同工能够在服事的当中得着健壮，看顾我们同工的家人，也看顾我们教会当中有婚姻的夫妻，要照顾父母亲的工作上的人。主，我们今日讲台的宣讲，主，我们要高举主啊，你在我们心中的大能大力。主，我们将要谈到主，你在我们心里面。主，你所要动工的，你所要宣召我们所做的那奇妙的事工，主，求你帮助我们今天讲台的信息也能够对我们众弟兄姐妹说话。主，我们求你也帮助我们教会弟兄姐妹在我们的生活当中，主，我们能够荣耀你的名。主，我们能够将我们的生活、将我们的工作、将我们的家庭都摆上，成为主你自己的祭坛。主，我们求你照顾我们，也求你医治我们，求你帮助我们心里。有这样的能力，也有这样的看见。主，我们求你预备我们今天讲台的信息，保守我们今天的聚会。感谢祷告，奉主耶稣的名求，阿门。
下面是读经的时候，今天要读的经文是《使徒行传》26章13到20节。我们请大家先读中文。
Today's scripture to read is Acts chapter 26, verses 13 to 20. Let us read it first in Chinese and then in English.
使徒行传第二十六章第十三到二十节。
王啊，我在路上向你祈求，看见主天发光。比日落还亮，四面照着我，并与我同行的人，我们都不倒在地。我就听见有声音用希伯来话向我说：“撒罗，撒罗，为什么逼迫我？你用脚蹄刺拦阻圣灵的。”我说：“主啊，你是谁？”主说：“我就是你所逼迫的耶稣，你一起来看看。”我特意向你显现，让你看我的指示和见证，将你所看见的事实和我讲的事实的事实传递出来。我也要进入我的家庭和家人的时候，我才能到他们那里去，要将他们的眼睛割开，从黑暗中归向光明。恐怕在天上归向神，因为你信我，得蒙赦罪。为一切真实的人都有体验，那主的话，我不仅没有违背他从天上来的意象，现在大马车，后者有多少可以用在全地，以及外邦，劝你他应当悔改归向神，行事与悔改紧相称。
Now read English, Acts 26.Verses 13 to 20. Let's begin.
About noon, King Agora, as I was on the road, I saw
今天我们有邱弟兄为我们证道，他证道的题目是制定书题的意向。
We are pleased to have Brother Mu Tianqiu to give us sermon today. His sermon title is Holding the Heavenly Vision.
Peace be with you, brothers and sisters.
Today's sermon actually is prepared for myself, but I will share with you too.
我要来做一个见证，要讲说在主的光中过得美好无比的生活。
I come to share with you my testimony. It is the best life to be able to walk in the light of the Lord.
今天挑的这段经文来自新约。
Today's scripture is taken from the New Testament.
可以说也是因为我最近也是在挣扎以及在思想神给我的启示是什么。
It's also the result of my study of what God revealed to me recently.
从前我讲到我喜欢讲旧约。
I've always liked to preach from the Old Testament before.
我喜欢讲旧约，其中一个原因是我发现教会里面比较不常讲。
One of the reasons is because the founder churches do not like to preach from the Old Testament.
或是不知道怎么讲，因为旧约圣经不太好懂。
Nor do they know how to preach from the Old Testament because it was difficult to understand.
旧约圣经本来是犹太教的经典。
The Old Testament is the canonized scripture of the Judaism.
里面有很多是律法，很多是先知，也很多是故事。
And containing many Jewish laws and historical facts.
故事是最吸引我兴趣的。
I'm very intrigued by Jewish history.
虽然对现代人来说，旧约的故事可能会让人产生很多科学还有逻辑上的问题。
However, this history often creates scientific and ethical dilemma for people living in this modern era.
就是还有道德的问题，还有就是说，仿佛旧约圣经只关注。犹太人一个民族的命运。
As if the Old Testament history only focused on the destiny of the Jewish people.
那这些跟新约中那个基督耶稣带来那个崇高光明而且博爱的那种美德的福音就不是很相称。
Which does not fit very well with, or seem to fit well with the majestic, glorious, and universal love of.Gospel of Jesus Christ recorded in the New Testament.
但是我就很庆幸说，我过去在三一神学院学习的解经的专业，能够帮助我理解，如何连接新旧约。
So fortunately, the courses on hermeneutics taught at the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School helped me to shed insight on how to connect Old Testament with the New Testament.
它帮助我打开很多难解经文的亮光，而且从中得到圣灵给我的灵感。
And help me to understand the passages and shed light on many difficult passages and inspire me.
过去我在这边我讲过耶利哥城妓女喇合的故事，也讲过落难贵族雅干的故事。
So in the past, I've shared with you the Rahab of Jericho and the exclusion of Achan.
那我其实还有准备很多圣经中人物的解经，像是可以讲约瑟的故事、大卫的故事、但以理的故事、参孙的故事等等。
And also, I can share with you many brilliant stories on Joseph, David, Daniels, and so on.
大多时候我都从原文的希伯来文里面去找线索，然后去发掘适合的解经题材。
So each time I will start with the exegesis or the study of the original Hebrew text to find the topics and messages to prepare.
但我过去也是在讲到的经历当中，我就开始反思自己是否自己作为一个讲员的呼召的内涵的实质内涵是什么。
So through the preparation of sermon, I also ponder on the responsibility of my vocation being a preacher.
也就是说，不只是因为我能讲，而且我学习了怎么讲道，所以我讲道。那边应该有更深层的理由，上帝让我站在这里。
So help me to see that it's not only for me to know how to prepare to preach a sermon, but to understand the ultimate purpose for the sermon.
我现在是一个要毕业的神学生，我在调整自己的身份当中。
So currently I'm a graduating seminary student, so I have to adjust my position.
我从2007年开始到三一神学院学习，那现在也来到了最后一个学期，来到一个终点的实习的这个阶段。
So from the start of my seminary career in 2007, I've come to the last semester of my study and be the intern to learn how to be a minister.
就像教会中可能有些弟兄姐妹在待业当中，还有些学生毕业要找工作一样，我也是就跟各位一样，在处在这个阶段，寻求呼召与生涯的下一步。
So just like many of you who are searching for jobs or about to graduate, I'm also searching for work and the next chapter of my vocation and career.
圣经当中有一个人物，他也经历过一个很大的转折，他得到了一个呼召，得到了一个异象，就跟他过去的生命做了一个很明显的蜕变。
There's also a character recorded in the Bible who also experienced the same change through receiving a special calling that brought drastic change in his life.
他曾经是一个深深的活在我刚才所讲的这个旧约经典当中的人，可是后来他的生命得到了一个异象之后，他成为新约书信新约里面一半的书信的作者。
Although he was once, he was born in the Old Testament, but through his heavenly vision, he was brought into the New Testament and became the author of more than half the New Testament scripture.
就让我们从保罗的身上学习如何持定属天的意象。
So let's learn from Paul how to hold the heavenly vision.
保罗是教会历史中最神奇的人物之一。
Paul is the most intriguing character in the church history.
他拥有三种文化的背景，好像我们今天在美国所生的小孩，还有在美国移民的这些华人一样。
He possessed three different culture, grew up with three different cultural background.
一个是
like the Chinese here in the United States.
一个是浓厚又渊博的犹太文化。
One was the rich Jewish tradition.
还有活泼的希腊文化。
And also the Greek culture.
再来就是属灵的基督教文化。
In addition, he also received the Christian culture.
保罗他原本是他是一个以色列人，他原本属于便雅悯的支派。
Paul was born in the tribe of Benjamin.
他的家原本是在犹太省的北方一个叫大树 Tarsus 的城市。
He was raised in the city of Tarsus, north of Judah.
从我们现在来看的话，他是一个外省人。
So, according to now modern day understanding, he probably should be a Gentile or foreigner.
大树当时是罗马帝国一个主要的学术中心。
Tarsus was one of the academic centers for the Roman Empire.
然后保罗他原来名字扫罗，这个名字的意思是求问。
His original name was Saul, that's to seek, means to seek.
所以我们可以发现保罗他应该是一个学术背景也是很强的人，他是一个求知者。
So we know that Paul must be an intellectual.
因为出生在罗马帝国的直辖的领地，根据出生地国籍的原则，他拥有罗马公民的身份。
Because he was raised in Tarsus, he was born with a Roman citizenship.
他的父亲是一个法利赛人。
But his father was a Pharisee.
所以他大概在十五六岁高中这个年纪的时候，就把他送到耶路撒冷去学习律法。
So by the age of 15 or 16, he was sent to Jerusalem to study Jewish law.
师从犹太著名学者加马列。
Under the famous Jewish teacher Gamaliel.
他从小受到法利赛教门的熏陶，接受严格的律法教育。
So he was brought up under well educated in Jewish laws.
这就造就了他对旧约圣经、希腊文还有哲学深入的研究。
So he was well studied in Jewish, the Old Testament, the Greek, and
哲学
and philosophy.
他信主以后，这些背景都让他成为一个有力、强而有力的护教学者。
After conversion, all his knowledge background helped him to be a good apologetic.
更使他成为教会史上第一个著名的神学家。
And also became the first theologian in church history.
但是不止如此，他成长的背景我们可以再多谈一点。
Not only so, we can dig deeper into his cultural background.
我们刚刚说到，根据犹太传统，一个犹太的男孩子在十五岁，他的高中年纪就可以就读拉比学校。
As mentioned before, once a Jewish boy gets to be 15 years old, he could study in the rabbinic school.
那他这位他的老师加马列，我们说是当时最著名的拉比。
And his teacher Gamaliel was the most famous rabbi in those days.
他是在一世纪的时候最著名的七大拉比之一。
One of the most famous, seven famous rabbi in first century.
因为他对律法的精通，人们给他的这个老师加马列一个称号，叫做“律法之荣美”。
Because of his knowledge in the Jewish law, he had a name. It's called the splendor of Jewish law.
所以犹太传统也说，在加马列逝世之后，这个律法之荣美也随之消逝了。
So after his death, the splendid Jewish laws also dimmed down.
保罗的父母在他年少的时候就有这个能力跟这个机会，让他在加马列门下受教，也就是希望他能够成为一个杰出的律法师。
So Paul was privileged to study under Gamaliel.
保罗本身也非常好学。
He's also very diligent in his pursuit of knowledge.
所以在加拉太书里面，他自己也承认说，当时他的律法上的成就是超越他的同学们的。
So in the book of Galatians, he also revealed that his studies excelled more than his colleagues.
那他本身也是很严谨的守这个律法，所以他也说，就律法的义来说。他说我本人是无可指责的。
And he also was without blemish in keeping Jewish law.
在大马士革的这个异象之前，保罗他也是非常热心的，认为他在侍奉神。
He also served God Jehovah fervently before his conversion to Christianity.
甚至到了一种狂热的地步。
And to become rather a radical.
在保罗生命中，这个对律法、对上帝的这种热爱与尊敬，就是推动他往前面走他的生涯的一种动力。
His fervent pursuit of Jewish laws and studies compel him to move forward in his career.
他是为维护律法精神的拉比。
He's rather conservative in keeping the law.
那这般维护法纪的精神，这种爱国爱教的精神，也深植在犹太人这个律法的民族的精神里。
His desire to keep the law is also the essence of Judaism.
在旧约时候，我们曾经看见有一个在民数记里面。有一个以色列的领袖叫腓尼哈。
In the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, we've learned a Jewish leader by the name of Phinehas.
他因为他看见他的同族人与摩押女子行淫，就拿刀把他们都杀了。
Because he saw his Jewish people had committed adultery with Moabite women, so he killed them all.
后来在犹太在耶稣出生的前两个世纪的时候，那时候犹太人又有一个领袖，是马克比家族的马提亚起来反叛。
200 years before Jesus' time, the Maccabean Matthias also raised rebel against the Roman Empire.
那他第一件做的事情，也就是杀死那些跪拜希腊神像的同族的犹太人。
The first thing he did was also to kill those Jewish people who worship idols.
这种为了维护传统，宁可把同族的人的给杀死的这种热心、这种激进的精神，就是在保罗身上体现的。
This radical approach of upholding the law at the expense of people's life also was found in Paul.
也就是在新约中有一群这种人，就叫做分锐党。
And there's a group of people called the zealots in the New Testament, and they all behave like that.
他们认为他们自己在替天行道。
They thought they were doing God's work.
代替神把异教徒就地正法。
To execute pagans for God.
他们认为这样子能够使国家得到兴旺，而且让弥赛亚的国度早日实现。
They execute pagans on site, thinking that they could revive the Judaism.
这个就是保罗他在归主之前，他叫做扫罗的时候，他这么热心在做的一件事情。
That was Paul, or Saul, before he was converted to Christianity.
他看见这些基督徒、这些基督教会在传讲一个死而复活的耶稣，所以他立刻抱着要除灭这些异教徒的心态。
When he heard all these Jewish people preaching about a resurrected Jesus, that was very much against Jewish law, so this propelled him to protect his belief and want to arrest and persecute these Christians.
我们知道在《使徒行传》第六章、第七章那边，基督徒开始被迫害的开始，是因为斯提凡的公开见证。
We read from Acts chapter 6 and 7, the persecution of Christians started by the public with the testimony of Stephen.
后来斯提凡他被那些愤怒犹太人用石头打死，保罗在其中欢喜叫好。
When Stephen was stoned to death, Paul or Saul was among one of the executioners.
所以呢，在大马色上路之前，保罗那时候也正在这样的一个行程当中，他捧着大祭司的逮捕令，从耶路撒冷出发。
So, on his way to Damascus, he was actually with the warrant from the high priest to arrest all the Christians there.
他要前往150里外的大马色，搜索躲在那里的基督徒。
To seek out the hidden Christians in that city.
但是他突然见到一个异象。
But on the way there, he was given a vision.
有一个大光向他照着，而且有声音向他说：“扫罗，扫罗，你为什么逼迫我？”
So with this vision, a great light shone upon him, and a voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?"
你用脚踢刺是难的。
It's difficult or hard for you to kick with your feet against goats.
主啊，你是谁？那这个声音就回答他说：“我就是你所逼迫的耶稣。”
He said, "Who are you, Lord?" The voice replied, "I'm Jesus, the one who you persecuted."
我们可以来看这三句话。
We can study these three phrases.
你为什么逼迫我？
Why are you persecuting me?
保罗他不明白这句话，因为他所逼迫明明是那些信徒啊。
Paul must could not have understood it well because he thought he was doing God's work.
但是这个声音却说你逼迫我。
But the voice says, "Why are you persecuting me?"
原来主耶稣他把这些信徒 跟他自己视为同一一个同一个身体的一个连结的关系。
Here we see that Jesus treat believers as himself.
而这个同一的概念正是基督教会最核心的概念。
This unity is the essence of Christianity.
后来这个信息成为保罗书信里面极力所传讲的一个最很大的重点，教会是就是主的身体。
So this the church is the body of Christ. This theme has repeatedly become apparent in Paul's epistles.
后来第二句话，这个你用脚踢刺是难的，这句话也很耐人寻味啊。
It's also perplexing to see this, to hear the second phrase. It's difficult for you to kick against goats.
什么叫做用脚踢刺呢？
What is to kick against goats?
为什么会很难呢？
Why is that hard?
就是你就踢吧。
So kick it. So what's the big deal?
解经家对这个说法有四个不同的意见。
The theologians have four different views on this phrase.
但是最后大家都比较同意说，这句话是当时希腊里面一个流行的俗语。
But later on, everybody came to a consensus that this is a common phrase in those days.
我看见的英文翻译说，这个 kick against the goal 好像是足球一样，就是好像射门有什么难的。可是其实它那个 goal 它是指的是刺，对，
It's goals, not goal. Kick against the goals.
这句话的意思就是说，不能够抗拒，就是说你人不能去抗拒神的作为。
Which means that man cannot fight against the will of God.
第三句话说，我就是你所逼迫的耶稣。
The third phrase is, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting."
耶稣在当时的名声已经在犹大全地都传遍了。
Jesus was pretty much, the story of Jesus was spread widely among all Judea.
耶稣的死是当时的大新闻。
The death of Jesus was a headline news.
保罗听到耶稣的名字的时候，他一定知道。
Saul must have heard Jesus before.
但是这个意象给保罗一个很大的冲击。
But this vision has shaken him quite greatly.
保罗他一定开始回想说，他过去逼迫基督徒的时候的那个景象。
It must have brought him back to all the scenes that.When he persecuted Christians in the past,
他就发现各地的信徒那种被逼迫的时候那种大无畏、从容就义的精神，会让他很震惊。
It must remind him of the fearless expressions on the Christians' face when they were executed.
就像在过去一二十年间，许多中国教会的信徒也在被政府逼迫。
Just like the Chinese Christians were persecuted by the Chinese government in the last. 50 to 50 years.
对，过去，对过去几十年间都在受到逼迫。可是很多的这些逼迫基督徒的这些执法者、这些宗教局的官员，他们心里面都会发现，这些基督徒跟一般人不一样。
But all the many of the executioners who later on shared that inside their heart they discovered Christians are a different group of people.
因为他们并不是会因为逼迫而软弱而就放弃信仰的人。
Because Christians would not back down in face of their persecution.
在大马色上路上，他突然见到大光，他在听觉、视觉上都感觉到神的显现。
So on the way to Damascus, Paul had both visual and auditory.Received visual and auditory scenes that something different was happening.
所以他向主问说，我应该做什么？
So he asked Lord, what should I do then?
这句话我应该做什么，就是保罗他生命转折，他领受异象的开始。
That phrase, what do you want me to do, is the turning point of his life.
而就神就回答说，我要让你去做我的执事，传扬我的福音。
And then Lord said to him, I will appoint you to be my servant and the witness of my message.
后来保罗到了大马色城，他眼睛看不见，他三天不吃不喝。
Paul lost his eyesight at the vision for three days and three nights. He did not eat or drink.
这三天三夜是保罗生命中最重要的三天。
And those 3 days and nights were the most important time of his life.
保罗他开始重整他的神学思想。
He has revolutionized, revamped all his theological ideas.
后来他的决定是他要放弃一切，对他过去对教会的逼迫忏悔。
So that led him to repent all his previous behaviors in persecuting the church.
从此开始要做主耶稣的门徒。
And to become disciples of Christ from then on.
保罗的改变跟一般人的改变有点不一样。
His conversion experience is somewhat different than the ordinary conversion experience of us.
很多人是从内而外的改变。
Many people change inside out.
保罗是从外而内。
But Paul is the opposite. He changed outward to inner behavior.
这种经验，保罗他就说自己他是一个为道产期而生的人。
That led him to believe that he was born prematurely.
所以保罗他也被称为外邦人的使徒。
And Paul also was called the apostles to the Gentiles.
保罗他明白他是神所使用给予外邦人领受启示的一个器皿。
It's a vessel that God used to bring gospel to the Gentiles.
那不管他是对自己的同胞还是对外邦人，保罗都竭力的为福音辛劳。
So he worked fervently for the gospel, no matter it was to the Jews or to the Gentile life.
他不以他的性命为念，就是要传扬神恩惠的道。
He did not fear for his own life, but be faithful to preach the gospel.
从这个点上，我开始也反省我生命当中与保罗类似的经历。
So with this, I'll examine my own life and attitude.
我觉得我从前比保罗来跟保罗来说有个相像的点，就是我也是一个非常极端、很激进的人。
I was as radical as Paul once before.
只是不同的是说，从我求学的时候，我就常常觉得我自己是被逼迫的人。
The only difference is ever since I started studying, I felt I was the one being persecuted.
不是说被学校的功课逼迫，但是我是觉得被教育体制给逼迫。
I felt I was persecuted by the educational system, not the study itself.
所以我在学校的时候，我都非常的，我从中学开始，我就非常的反叛。
So I was rather rebellious ever since high school age.
保罗他是想要守护律法，但是我那时候非常想要打破制度。
Paul was protected the system, but I was trying to break the system as much as I can.
那时候我在学校我常常旷课，因为我觉得那些课很无聊，那是死的知识，不应该学，也不应该规定我们学。
I frequently go AWOL from the school because I didn't believe those lessons are necessary.
然后我会对老师的管教，我就非常的不满意。我老师对我的管教会让我非常的情绪化，我就对老师大吼或是说脏话。
So I was also very much against being disciplined by a teacher and rebelled violently at times.
后来我在高中的时候，我还跟一些帮派的朋友结交。
I also made friends with the gang members.
因为我觉得他们也是一个被教育体制所逼迫，是没办法适应的人。
I thought they were the same victim as me.
但是在我高三的时候呢，学校就把我开除了。
So I kicked out of school and at senior high senior year.
被开除以后呢， 我开始转到另外一个比较差的学校，在那边我就开始沉迷打游戏。
沉迷什么？
沉迷玩网络游戏。
网络。
Yeah.
So I had to go to a different school, but then I became involved in online games.
在我高中的最后一年，还有大学的前两年，我都在疯狂打网络游戏。
So I spent most of my time in those games the last year high school and first 2 years in college.
然后我那时候整个人都非常的萎靡，很堕落。
So naturally, I was rather a disappointment.
但是在我大学的后半段的时候，那时候我才开始真正的感觉到神有在拯救我。
For the last 2 years of college, I felt that God was trying to save me.
这段经历也就很奇妙，成为我后来愿意献身念神学的原因。
This last 2 years of experience in college became an integral part in my decision to dedicate my entire life for Christ.
神他带领我去离开那种对体制的失望，还有对虚拟世界的沉迷的其中一个方式，是让我看到现实世界中的美好。
So God helped me to leave the disappointment toward the educational system. And say that again.
就是离开对体制的失望，还有对虚拟世界的沉迷。
And indulgence on this materialistic world.
虚拟 virtual world, virtual reality.
They're too advanced for me. Virtual reality,
就是游戏的世界。
Because I have no experience, I have no idea what.
Yeah, 就是God led me away from the virtual world, the virtual reality that the games had presented before the gamers, and it's a hard experience. Yeah, it's a hard lesson for me to learn. 但是神就让我看到现实世界当中有值得追求的一面。
But it also helped me to see the bright side of the practical world.
首先我那时候就开始第一个发现我们的身体没办法一直坐在电脑前，然后我那时候开始就回头去喜爱我以前常常打了篮球，我开始去再重新回到运动的世界当中。
Also discovered I could not spend all my time before the computer, so I went back to my second love, sports, especially basketball.
对，我就想，那神对我的呼召是不是让我成为一个 NBA 球员呢？
So begin to wonder if God will call me into a professional basketball like NBA.
但是看起来好像有点不像。
You know, and I look at myself in the mirror and doesn't look that way.
后来，然后我还开始追求了一个兴趣，就是我从中学的时候也开始玩的乐团。
乐团
那个 music band. Yeah.
So I also had an interest in musical instruments. I was a band member.
所以在大学的后半段，我一开始玩摇滚乐团，然后我参加了很多的这种乐团音乐竞赛，然后也有得奖。
So in college, I participated in the rock band and I've won prizes. Contest.
那我就想说，那神是不是要呼召我成为一个职业的乐手呢？用音乐来荣耀他。
So I also wonder if God would want me to be a musician to glorify Him that way.
这条路让我想了比较久，就是没有像那个成为篮球员那么明显，就是让我觉得有机会。
And I thought I had some opportunity in that line of life.
所以在大学最后一年的时候，那时候还想着，我是留下来准备考研究所，还是我要跟有一个比较稳定的乐团，我们一起开始准备出唱片。
So at the last years of college, I struggled. Should I continue my study and go into graduate school, or should I just start participating in rock band and make music CDs.
但我后来觉得要放下这个音乐道路，原因是因为也是想到说，我感觉我自己在音乐上面不是真的一个有非常丰富想法的人，而且音乐这条道路算是也很难走。
Later on, I began to gradually came to the realization that I was not that talented in music, and the band the career is not as easy as I thought it was.
就是这个迷茫的这个空档之后，就有一个牧师就说，那你去念神学院吧。
And so I was struggling with this, and finally a pastor said, why don't you go to seminary?
他觉得神学院至少能够帮我肯定一件事情，就是我要用我未来我的恩赐荣耀神。
At least the seminary studies will help me to affirm the desire to serve God with my talents later on in my life.
我们现在所讲的这个问题，这个议题呢，可以说是一个叫做职场神学的议题。
This topic actually is the one of the topic in marketplace theology.
那专精这个神学议题的呢，在北美有一位叫做 Paul Stevens 的教授。
There's a seminary professor called Paul Stevens who is an expertise in workplace evangelism.
首先要说的是，虽然我当时念了神学，但是我依然有一个很清楚的观念，念神学不表示要当牧师。
Even though I wanted to study theology, but also at that time I felt that studying theology does not necessarily mean I will be a full-time minister.
而这一点就刚好是华人神学里面比较需要开发的观念。
This is a misconception that permeated in Chinese community, Christian community.
这个教授保罗·斯蒂文斯他就说，今日普遍我们有一个危险的观念。
It's Paul Stevens shared that there is a misconception among the evangelicals today.
就是以为神给人圣灵的恩赐就是用来服侍在教会里面。
That is, people often think that the Spirit of God is to equip believers with gifts to serve the church only.
所以呢，你用你的恩赐荣耀神的第一步就是在教会里面当小组长，当执事。
So to exercise your spiritual gifts means that you will be the group leaders in the church.
然后当你继续的侍奉，你升级以后，你可能就会当长老，然后会有人叫你去念神学。
And gradually, as you gain more experience, people will promote you to be the elders of the church or unto seminary.
然后最后呢，当你去念完神学，然后你当上牧师以后，大家就认为说你在天国里面已经有产业了。
As you graduate from the seminary to become the pastor of the church, and people will believe that you have inheritance stored up in heaven.
可是职场神学就是从圣经里面要告诉我们一个不一样的观念。
But marketplace theology teaches something different.
就是说，他说神的儿女领受属灵恩赐的一个主要目的是要承担神的美妙事工，去改造这个世界。
That is, the spiritual gifts are to enable believers carry out God's amazing purpose and change the world.
去改变文化，然后去改造人类的社会，
including its culture and people.
所以透过工作，神能够使用我们的恩赐。
So through Christian work, the gifts of God could be revealed to the world.
这个是每一个基督徒要追求的属天的意象。
This is a heavenly vision that every Christian should seek after.
我们从圣经里面不难找出一些经文去支持属灵的恩赐不单用在教会中的这种观点。
It's not hard to find examples in the Bible that spiritual gifts are not limited to the benefit of the church only.
罗马书十二章的开头说，那个献上身体当作活祭就是一个很好的一个例子。
The beginning of Romans chapter 12, to present your body as living sacrifice is a good example.
保罗在罗马书十二章这边提到说，教会除了知道说预言是属灵恩赐之外，也提到其他像是服事、劝化、施舍、治理等等的恩赐。
in Romans 12, Paul not only mentioned prophesying as a spiritual gift, he also includes serving, teaching, encouraging, governing, etc. as the gift of the Spirit.
这些恩赐不但能够在教会当中彰显，在职场当中也能够彰显。
You can exercise these gifts not only in the church but also in marketplace and all work environments.
圣经清楚地告诉我们，不是只有牧师或宣教士才是蒙召。
The Bible clearly teaches that not pastors, full-time ministers, missionaries are not the only ones called to service.
我们每个人都是蒙召的。
Every one of us is called to serve.
而且神是按照我们的名字呼召我们。
And God calls us by our name.
也就是说，这个 Daniel 啊，我呼召你。
It's like 牧天 I call you.
对啊，就是神就是这样的，按照名字来呼召我们。他对我们有一个完美的计划。
God calls you, each one of you, by your name. He has a perfect plan.For each one of our lives.
呼召不只是职业而已，明白这点很重要。
The calling, God's calling, is not just a career. We must understand this.
如果呼召就是职业，那这个格局也太小了。
If you think the vocation or call from God is your career, then your understanding must be broadened.
职业可以是我们自己选的。
Profession is a personal choice.
也可以说是被现代社会的需要，还有这个分工的社会所区分出来的。
It's also created and shaped by the societal needs.
我们常常说，我们可以去转换我们的这个职业的跑道。
We can change our tracks at will.
但是神的呼召是不改变的。
But God's calling is irrevocable.
好像说他真的是有你的电话号码一样，他不停打电话给你。
It's like he has your phone number calling you all the time.
他就是不停地打电话给我们，从天上赐下异象给我们，让我们学着到他面前回应。
He's calling us continuously from heaven so that we'll come before him to seek his will.
耶稣在三十岁以前，他的职业是一个木匠。
Jesus inherited his earthly father's business as a carpenter before age 30.
但是他终身的事业却是以天父的事为念。
But all his life, he carried out heavenly father's business.
使徒保罗他在传道的时候，他曾经用支帐篷的方式为他的作为他的职业来谋生计。
Paul, Apostle Paul, during his missionary journey, made a living as a tent maker.
但是他的呼召，他的志业却是做神的门徒，做上帝的使徒。
But his vocation is to be the disciple, the evangelist, and apostle.
做基督徒来说，我们相信宇宙万物有一位创造主。
As Christians, we all believe in the creator and sustainer of the universe.
所以在这些神所创造、这些受造物跟文化之中，也蕴含着上帝的永能和神性。
This also means that we believe in the eternal power and divine nature of God.
在这个世界的受造物跟文化当中，我们在社会上的呼召就是要查验这个关乎上帝的永恒的旨意。
So our mission in the world is to discern the divine purpose which called us before Him.
这个所以呢，我们基督徒才会被说是蒙拣选的族类，是有君尊的祭司，是圣洁的国度，是属神的子民。要宣扬那找我们出黑暗入奇妙光明者的美德，这句话在彼得前书二章九节。
That's why 1 Peter 2:9 says, "We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of God who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light."
腓立比书二章十五到十六节也说，我们是要显在这世代中，好像明光照耀，将生命的道显明出来。
In the same way, Philippians 2:15 says that we become blameless and pure and children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then we can shine among the world like stars in heavens in the heaven.
有人能把刚才两节经文背出来吗？ 就是这样讲好像还是很抽象, 大家记不住。
So all these things seem theoretical and academic.
如果我们讲职场神学, 我们可以把这些经文都集合起来的话, 那可能可以很多, 可是这样, 大家没办法吸收啊。
If we put all these scriptures before you, it's hard for you to digest.
所以我就在想说, 我在神学院的生活, 都是, 祈祷, 以祈祷传道的事为念。
So in seminary life is that we spend most of time pray and how to apply biblical principles.
那我接下来想说我要怎么样具体的 在我有限的服事经验跟工作经验当中跟各位讲呼召呢?
Then I wonder how I can share with you the calling of God in my limited experience.
我就要讲到我过去几个月的经历。
Then I fall back on my experience for the last few months.
今年2月的时候, 有一个人在这个全球的范围内爆红起来。
In February, a person who became instantly famous in the world.
他就创造了一个现象叫做Linsanity.
He's the creator of this phenomena called Linsanity.
他是整个华人还有 美国跟基督教界的一个传奇吧。
He's become a legend in the U.S. Chinese community and Christian circles.
林书豪他在 2009年在打球的时候, 我那时候开始关注他。
I began to follow Jeremy Lin in the year 2009.
就是刚好就是说, 因为我跟他有一些相似的背景。 就是我是来自台湾, 我也是华人, 然后我们也都在, 美国打拼吧。
I share some commonalities with him, being Chinese Christians and, in America with Taiwanese backgrounds.
所以从, 2009年开始, 我关注他, 然后在他后来打出这个现象的时候, 那时候我就写了一篇文章, 我写了两篇, 中文的文章, 报道他。
So, when asked, after he became famous, I drafted two articles to share in the circulation.
但是我在这里带到他的见证，就是要讲说，因为过去他这个现象， 我想说对他自己的改变会非常大，但是对我的启示还有改变也很大。
I would like to mention his testimony because he has been an enlightenment and inspiration to me.
那篇文章，那两篇文章后来都被都有这个几百万的点击率，在中文世界里面算是最早的两篇深度报道。
Those two articles, I think, had several million hits online.
后来。 有两间出版社, 他们, 两间中文的出版社, 他们找我, 去撰写林书豪传。
The two publishers actually came and asked me to write a biography for Jeremy Lin.
我现在讲的都是真的, 可是那个时候我就觉得我在神学院的最后一个学期, 我就没有去接受。
I turned them down because of, I was busy studying in seminary.
我觉得说，神对他有一个打篮球的呼召，但是神对我在神把我放在神学院，也有他对我的呼召，我要坚持这个呼召。
I felt that God called Lin to be a basketball player and me to be a seminary student. We have to be faithful to our call.
到最近8月26号还是9月2号，他在香港跟台湾分别有两场布道会，那时候。 香港那边也是买了我文章的版权，放在他们大会的那个册子当中。
So Jeremy Lin will have two basketball camps in Hong Kong.
布道会不是 basketball camp.
To have evangelical evangelistic camps in August and September, and they producers or organizers asked me to.
Provide copyright of the articles I wrote.
Give them the copyright.
Yeah. 但是我跟林浩本人不认识，我跟他倒是有一些共同的朋友。
I don't know Jeremy personally, but I had some friends. We shared some friends.
在我在芝加哥教会一起打球的一群 ABC 朋友当中，就有一两个队友，其中有一个队友是李书豪在加州教会从小长大的朋友。
One of the ball players in my home church in Chicago actually grew up with Jeremy and still one of his best friends.
所以我可以说我每个礼拜都跟林书豪的好朋友一起打球。
So I can say that every week I play ball with Jeremy's best friend.
然后对，在过去一个月，在上个月的时候，我到加州一间教会面试。
Last month, when I was interviewing in a church in California,
那间教会也是就是林书豪成长的教会。
And that church was as Jeremy Lin's home church.
然后所以我对那个教会当初抱着很高的期待，然后呢，也就跟他的英文牧师见面，然后他也送我一本这个林书豪传，就是用英文写的，对。
So I had high expectations of that church, and the English pastor also gave me a biography of Jeremy Lin.
我只差没有告诉他，我原本就要成为中文的林书豪传的作者。
I didn't tell him I was going to write a Chinese version of Jeremy's biography.
但是最后我就没有去那间教会，因为我也是感觉，在那间教会的体制跟架构当中，神没有给我预备一个合适的位置。
But I decided not to go there because I felt God didn't call me to be serving Him in that church.
我提到我在反省这些经验的重点是，因为我一直在想说，这个经历对我的启示是什么？
The reason I mention all these experiences, I want to share with you what all these experiences revealed to me.
我跟各位谈说那些文章，它。还有这个我的对他的理解，为什么我会觉得很深？这个不是只是要炫耀一些这种无关痛痒的经验而已。
I was not going to share with or brag about my parents' experience.
我对他的这个理解，就是因为我发现说，他在篮球这条道路上面成功的过程当中，他一直相信神对他有一个很重要的呼召。
But I want to emphasize that Jeremy, his success in basketball is based on the sense of strong calling that God, that's exactly what God called him to do.
他相信的确在体育的运动中，在篮球的这个运动中是可以荣耀神的。
He deeply believed he can glorify God playing basketball.
而且他发现，他也坚信说，在他的成功当中，他能够去打破这个社会上对种族，然后以及对我们选择我们的生涯道路的一些刻板印象。
He also want to break the stereotype that people have formed in the area of sports in ethnic. Ethnicity.
Okay. 我一直以来都是一个篮球迷，我看了十六年的 NBA.
I've always been a basketball fan. I've followed NBA for 16 years.
从中学迷上篮球开始，我一直打球到大学的时候，我后来说我就加入了我们学校大学篮球队。
From high school on, I played a lot of basketball and In college, I was a member of the varsity team.
李书豪他在尼克队的号码，尼克队跟火箭队的号码是七号跟十七号。
So, Jeremy's jersey numbers 7 and 17 with the Knicks and the Rockets.
他说他很喜欢七这个数字，因为他这个是代表上帝的完美的一个数字。
He likes number 7 because it represents the completeness or perfection of God.
我也蛮喜欢这个数字的。我在校队球衣有两件，一件是27号，一件是37号。
I also have wear number 27 and 37. That's the proof.
只是说我从前的确真的跟他都一样的梦想，能够成为职业篮球员。
We had the same dream. We shared the same dream to be the NBA player.
而且也想过要当牧师。他说过他不打篮球，他就是当牧师。
And also, I wrestled with, should I be ball player or be a pastor?
唯一的差别是，他后来长到一米九一，所以他去打了篮球，而我就当了牧师。
The only difference between Jeremy and I is Jeremy is 6'3", and I'm 5'8". Therefore, he's NBA. I'm the pastor.
但是我们可以这么简单来看说，用身高，或是用这些专才来定义说神对一个人的呼召是什么吗
？Can we simply say what our calling is by our natural or hereditary factors or natural talents?
我相信神对人的呼召有比这更大层面。
I believe God's calling to man is higher than all of these.
凡是呼召都带有真理的成分。
All calling will bring out some truth.
它要对人的理性有刺激，对人的感性也有一种挑动。
Will cause some inspirational and thoughtful, become inspirational and thought provoking.
所以一个有使命感的人，我们说他会为他的使命废寝忘食。
So a man with mission will forfeit food and sleep.
他会非常热情地追求他事业上的成就。
Will seek fervently after his accomplishment in the world.
他有时为了他这个目标，为了他的使命，他甚至仍愿意牺牲他的财富，愿意牺牲享乐，甚至牺牲他的爱情，最后乃至牺牲他的生命。
Even at the expense of his wealth, family, romance, or even the ultimate sacrifice.
所以呢，对你的使命感抱有这样的一个热情，有这样的一个动力，它是一个第一个非常重要的指标。
So knowing what the mission is the most important thing.
在座有一些学生，学生你们可能认为说，你使命是研究科学，你使命是做学术。
Maybe some of us will believe our mission is to have a scientific pursuit or academic pursuit.
但是如果你看见你的研究，你看见你的论文，你就想睡觉。你知道你明天要上课要 meeting， 你就头痛，那你可能问题大了。
But then you'll have a lot of trouble if you don't even want to wake up to face tomorrow's difficult tasks.
你要想想看，这个是不是你的呼召，是不是你的使命
？You have to rethink if that is your mission.
我们对我们的呼召有使命，这是因为我们的动机不是为了要从中得到什么。
We do not toil for a better living, to gain something. Our mission in life is not to gain something from it.
而是说，我们回应神要去追求神要让我们成为的样式，神要领我们到达的地方。
But to respond to God and be what God wants us to be.
当我们认定我们的呼召和使命的时候，我们就也确定我们受造的奇妙和可畏。
When we recognize our mission or our vocation, then we will recognize the wonder of our creation.
所以呼召的。所以呼召的第二个指标就是我们会发出这样的赞叹，就说神啊，你的意念向我显明何为宝贵，其数何等众多。
Once we recognize the vocation from God, a calling from God, then we will claim that, like Psalm 139 says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast is the sum of them."
我们不是为了生活而工作，也不是为了工作而工作。
We do not toil for a better living, nor work for the sake of work.
我们对我们事业的成就，也只能在我们对呼召、对这个圣召的成全当中，我们才能够得着肯定，才能得着认定。
The significance of our accomplishment can only be appraised in the light of God's calling and by our faithfulness and submission to God's will during the process.
在追求这个呼召、这个使命的过程当中，我们对神的心意有继续有虚心的查验。
So how we are faithful and submissive to the will of God in our process of seeking God's will.
在这个过程当中，我们可能会涉及对自我意识的否定，为了要寻求对神的认识。
This may mean that we have to have self-denial and abandon self-will and self-interest.
我们要对神所呼召我们去的地方完全的委身和不保留投入。
It may require us to have a total commitment and participation without reservation.
甚至会有一种你不下去做这件事情，你的人生就浪费了一种迫切感。
And to work with a sense of urgency.
所以约翰福音九章四节，耶稣这边就说趁着白日速速做那差我来者的工，因为黑夜将到，就没有人能做工了。
Just like John 9:4, Jesus said, as long as there is still light, daylight, do the work, of him who sent me. When night comes, no one can work anymore.
第三点是，当基督徒，也应该要知道说，这个呼召的彰显也是神同在的明证。
In addition, Christians should know that the calling from God is also a proof, a testimony of God's presence.
这个就包括了第一个是我们对我们事工，对我们这个事工本身，我们有一个专业技能的掌握，而且能够认真的去尽忠的去执行这个任务。
With that understanding, it will promote a conscientious exercise of the skills given to us.
而且在这个过程当中，我们可以带着一个向神祈祷的心智，操练我们的信心。
It will help us to exercise and show our faith, focusing on the reliance of God's, of God through prayer.
第三个是在这样的一个工作，在这样的一种工作当中，我们也能够继续的彰显我们在基督里面的爱心。
It will help us to have a perseverance in love and a commitment to our task.
也就是可以为神去累积，去结出仁义的果子。
And to bear fruit of righteousness for God.
第四点是，在这个呼召的过程当中，也能够一个基督徒在呼召过程当中，他也能够得到周遭基督徒的认可，跟得到一个共识。
It also means that when he responds positively to the calling from God, he will receive also the affirmation from the church body.
一个信徒他在职场的呼召，也不能离开说在教会里面，其他信徒的公开的见证。
A Christian who responds to God in the marketplace calling. Will also be confirmed by the rest of the church body.
就像我们刚才提到说，林书豪他打篮球的这样的一个见证。
Just like Jeremy's example.
过去我曾经读到有一个在那纽约时报专栏的一个作家，他提出了一个问题，叫做 The Jeremy Lin Dilemma.
That New York Times had an article.On Jeremy Lin's dilemma.
在这篇文章里面，他提出了一个反对意见。他认为说，打篮球跟荣耀神不能并行。
There was in that article expressed the opinion that basketball and glorifying God don't mix.
因为他提出看法是，他认为说，篮球竞技本身就是叫你要有自信，要张狂，要击垮对手。
Because the author believes that NBA players are self-promoting.
但是基督徒却叫我们要谦虚，要礼让，要有爱心。
But Christianity helps us to teaches us to be humble, to have love.
只是他忘记了说，篮球这项运动本身就是一个很爱主的一个基督徒的宣教士，叫做 Naismith 他所创立的运动。
But he did not realize the basketball was invented by a missionary called Meese.
Nice Meese.
Lance.
Nice Meese. 对，我已经记住了。所以呢，在这个体育的这个活动当中，是可以荣耀神的，也是能够做见证的。
Man definitely can glorify God in sports and bear witness for Him.
因此他也就能说，在最近他要来在在教会的讲坛上面，在福音的聚会当中为主做见证，说明神是如何领他 进到篮球运动当中的。
It opens great doors for him to be able to share gospel, and make connections with his audience.
我们必须相信说，一个基督徒在职场里面，领受坚持这个属天的呼召，会有很多的挑战跟困难。
Definitely will bring challenge, if you insist living your Christian life in your marketplace.
但是教会和世俗绝对不是两个不相容的极端。
But church and life, are not two extremes.
因为我们的受造是要在这个世界去彰显，这个世界里面神的神性和荣耀。
Because we are all called to manifest God's, divine purpose and His glory in the world.
我最后用三点勉励各位。
I'll encourage you with three points.
第一个是，神的恩赐和呼召是没有后悔的。
First, God's gift and His call are irrevocable.
我们是为此，为我们的，为这个福音的工作，被召持定永生。
Paul encouraged Timothy to take hold of eternal life to which he was called.
因此，我们在我们的生命当中，在我们的工作当中，荣耀神，我们要有这样的一个信心跟胆量。
Therefore, we must have such faith and courage in our lives.
第二个是在呼召当中，我们要保持我们灵命还有我们生活的平衡。
Second thing is we must strike a balance between our the life we live and our calling.
我提到说，我们对呼召，我们是要有一种迫切的使命感。
I mentioned that we must have a sense of mission and urgency toward our vocation.
但是这个不意味着说，我们为着我们所认定的呼召，我们就可以放弃一个做基督徒的基本责任，例如说照顾好家庭，或是要到教会敬拜神。
That does not mean that in order to exercise your service in church, you'll sacrifice your family life.
最后一点就是在我们追求呼召的过程中，我们会感受到神的供应跟成全。
The last thing is that in the process of accomplishing our vocation, we'll experience God's providence and His grace.
马太福音六章告诉我们说，你们要先求神的国和神的义，凡剩下的都要加给你们了。
Matthew 6 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all the rest will be added unto you.
因此，凡是有召命的人，他不但是用信心去回应神的呼召。
So all those who have calling from God, not only respond with faith,
他也可以在生命中去体现、体验神的丰富，接受神的托付。
Will also experience in his life God's providence.
愿今天的信息能够帮助我们去思想，神对我们的呼召是什么。
May today's message help us to understand what God's calling for each one of you.
在我们的心里面产生一种负担。
It will bring out a burden in you.
然后加深我们的感动。
To continue to compel you.
而这个感动也能够成为我们体现神恩典的一个保证。
And also, be the assurance of that you know what your calling is.
让我们一起祷告。
Let's pray together.
亲爱的天父
，Our Heavenly Father,
我们感谢你创造我们，因为你对我们每一个人的创造都是独特的。
We thank you for creating us, and you have a unique.Creation in each one of us.
主，你曾经在大马色的路上，你用一个异象，你呼召了保罗。
You once called Paul with a vision on his way to Damascus.
主，我们今天也来到你的施恩座前，渴望主你给我们生命中这样的一个异象。
We come before you now. We're earning for the same vision.
主，你帮助我们，让我们知道我们成为基督徒，我们要如何在我们的全人，在我们的生命。完全的摆上荣耀你
，so that we know how to commit our entire life.
我们这些在走在主你为我们所预备的道路上的主，我们也求你加添力量和你恩典的印证。
Those who walk in your will, we ask that you strengthen us.
求你保守我们今天聚会后我们会总我们散聚后的脚步还有我们日常的生活。
So also keep watching our steps as we depart from here.
主我们继续的祈求你的恩典主还有你的旨意的彰显。
We continue to ask for your grace and the revelation of your will.
求你保守我们。
And keep us.
祷告奉主耶稣基督的名求。
This we pray in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.